and welcome to episode 6 of Could It Be Podcast. I recorded the rest of today's podcast about a week ago, but at the time of recording this introduction, it is the night before I'm due to have my explant surgery. I'm super excited and I'm very, very nervous about going into hospital tomorrow, but it all happens and I start the whole process of healing after tomorrow afternoon at some point, Australian time. So I'm in Adelaide in South Australia. So I go in at 12 o'clock my time tomorrow. Hopefully I won't be waiting around for too long before I go into theatre. I will see everybody on the other side. Thank you so much for listening and I will chat to you very soon. Enjoy today's episode. So until the age of 19, I had never had any surgeries, any stitches or any broken bones. And my first surgery was in 2005 in September, so I had just turned 19 at the time. In the lead up to that, so in year 12 in 2004, I had been working hard at the gym to trim up a little bit, just to lose some weight in the lead up to my year 12 graduation. My friends and I were doing like weights sessions and Zumba classes, and I got to a point where I was probably around a size 12 in Australian sizes. So I was feeling very healthy, looking very healthy, but I felt like I couldn't suck my stomach in, like there was something stopping me from doing that. And I never thought anything else of it. The only other thing I probably experienced was some mild pain, which I put down to period pain at the time. So I didn't really do anything about it. The following year, so the start of 2005, I did my fitness course, and as part of the study, we would go into the gym next to the institute together and do workouts, and I would get out of breath really easily. And it was strange because I was going to the gym quite a bit at the time. I was doing a lot of walking as well, and I just would get super out of breath just from really basic moves. I also noticed that I would go to the gym with my mum and we would be standing next to each other on the treadmill. So again, I was 18 around this time. Mum was in her 50s and mum was able to walk at a faster pace and at an incline than I could, because I'd get to maybe 5.2 k's an hour on the treadmill without an incline and I would get a stitch pain, so like a stabbing pain under my ribs, and I never understood why that was happening. That same year, I also studied Bowen therapy. So as part of that course, we would go to a location one weekend a month. We would work on each other. So we'd actually practice the Bowen technique on each other, like on all of the other students within the class. And I had told them about the bloating that I was experiencing. At this stage, my stomach was looking bloated, unlike it was at the end of year 12, where it just looked flat, but I couldn't suck my stomach in. They would work on different techniques to try and help with bloating. And I'd always walk away from those weekends feeling great. Like my back would feel awesome. I would sleep really well, but nothing would get rid of the bloating that was happening. I used to be a stomach sleeper. As you can imagine with breast implants, that still isn't happening now. But because of the way my stomach would feel, it was a really uncomfortable feeling laying on my tummy. I had to stop sleeping on my stomach. And I did start to look pregnant as well. So this was during I went through a bit of a phase after high school where I joined a religion. So I knew that I wasn't pregnant, but I did look about 6 months pregnant. I remember working in a retail store straight out of high school while I was studying my fitness course, and a customer had asked me, "Oh, when are you due?" And I looked at him and I was like, "Oh, do you mean due to finish work? Like, I don't tell people that." And he's like, "Oh, aren't you pregnant?" And I was like, "Oh, no, I'm not." he was so shocked and upset that he had asked that, and made it awkward that he walked out of the store after paying for his items but didn't take his items with him. He came back in a few minutes later, but it was quite embarrassing for him and for me, as you can imagine too. I did go to see a GP about this, and her initial reaction was that I had just had excess gas, take my Lanta and see how you go. I did exactly that and nothing seemed to work. So I went back to her a little while later and I actually said to her, after chatting with my mum, "Maybe I've got a food intolerance which is causing this weird bloating to happen." She didn't send me off for any tests or any ultrasounds. She just gave me a referral to a dietitian, and that dietitian from memory had quite a long waiting list, and I was really impatient and I just wanted to feel normal and look normal. So I decided to go to a different GP, which is one that I stuck with for years until she retired. And she had a look, she asked me a few questions, and she was obviously quite concerned but didn't show that. So she sent me off for an urgent ultrasound. So I think I went to see this GP on a Monday I had the ultrasound pretty quickly after that, and normally they don't tell you your results while you're in the ultrasound room, but the radiographer went to get the radiologist so that they could talk to me about what they'd found, and they're like, "Look, you have a massive cyst in there. It is taking up your entire abdominal section, and you will need surgery, obviously, to have this removed." And I was just so shocked because, like I said, I've never had anesthetic, never had any kind of stitches or broken bones before this, and I was perfectly healthy. Well, I thought I was. So they got my results back to my GP probably more quickly than they would have in a normal situation. My GP saw me urgently as well. She sent me off for an urgent appointment with a gynecologist. The very following Monday, so exactly a week after initially seeing my GP, I saw the gynecologist. He was a jolly older man who could deliver bad news quite well. So he basically said, "We need to get this out of you now. There is a chance that you will lose your ovary because of this, because there's quite a large ovarian cyst that is on that ovary. How does Wednesday sound?" I laughed in his face because I thought he was joking, and he's like, "No, I mean, like, can you come in for surgery on Wednesday?" I was very fortunate that I was under my parents' private health cover, so got straight into a private hospital within that 2 days. I didn't have enough time to really process the massiveness of it. Mum created the little routine of buying new pajamas before going in for surgery. So that was the first thing that we went to do together. I went to tell my workplace. So I had started a new job on that Monday that I saw the specialist, and I went back to them straight after the appointment and with my mum, and just basically said, "Look, I know I've just started this new job, but I need to have major surgery on Wednesday. I understand if you can't keep the role for me." So there was a few things to tick off the list there. I remember it being quite an early check-in time, and I was in for surgery before 10 a.m. When I came out, they wheeled me into my room, and my mum was waiting there for me, and I kept telling her that I loved her and how beautiful she was. She's like, "Bianca, just sleep, please." But yeah, so the cyst was a 7.6 kilogram ovarian cyst. There were two types of cyst there. So there was a large one. I can't remember the exact name of that type of cyst, but then inside that one was a dermoid cyst or a teratoma. That included muscle, lung, and cartilage tissue. Please do yourself a favor, and if you're squeamish, do not Google dermoid cysts because they are disgusting. I had never done that until in the last year or so, and I was just grossed out by what my body created. The large cyst was around 30 centimeters long. It went from my sternum to my pelvis, so I had quite a large vertical scar. I had 27 staples that held me together. It was my left ovary and my fallopian tube that were removed as part of that surgery. I was in hospital for around 8 days, and I was off of work and exercise for 6 weeks in total. I remember wanting to get up to have a shower the day after the surgery, and then I had two nurses come into the room to try and help me, but I had been through something so huge that as soon as I sat upright, the color drained from my face and I felt so ill. And the nurse just said to me, "Look, let's give you a bed bath today and we will see how we go tomorrow." I remember the day that I could shower, I had one nurse helping me because I was a little bit stronger at this point. There was a mirror on the way to my shower, so I asked her if I could just stop there for a second just to see how I looked because I had been used to this big bloated belly protruding from the front of me. And I was a little bit emotional when I saw what I looked like because I was back to looking normal again. And yeah, I was tiny. I forgot that, I could have a waist. As well as a 7.6 kilo cyst, I did lose another 4 kilos in hospital because of where the cyst was. It was pushing against all of my organs, like it pushed things up, back, and down. So when I did eat, I felt really unwell for the first week. So I did try my hardest to eat. The hospital food was great. I did try my hardest to eat it, but I just felt so ill that I couldn't finish a meal. So I did walk out of hospital about 12 kilograms lighter than when I went in. And that's probably the lightest I've been as an adult. And I've never been back there, but that's okay. My specialist also told me after this surgery that there is only a 10% chance of it reoccurring in women. So a 10% chance of the dermoid cysts happening again. Little did I know at the time that this was just the beginning of the number of surgeries I would go through over the years. So, following on from my first surgery, I had my breast implant tissue expanders put in the November of that same year, so November 2005. And then in the following year, in July in 2006, I had my breast implants done. And I do go through this in episode one if you haven't heard it yet. Then in 2009, I started to experience some pain in my lower abdomen on the right-hand side. At this stage, I was around 22 years old. I went to my GP and she referred me straight away for an ultrasound, and that came back that I had a growth on my right ovary. So I went off to the same specialist again and he booked surgery in to take the growth away. I had another dermoid cyst removed. This time it had brain, skin, and hair tissue in it. Apparently it was covered in a bit of hair from memory. It was, again, disgusting, but my body created it. The scar for this one was a horizontal scar, so similar to where somebody would have a cesarean section scar if they're having a baby via cesarean. I was in hospital for around 5 or 6 nights, so not as long as the first time, and recovery was 6 weeks. And I recovered really well from the surgery. I bounced back right at the 6 week mark. I was able to go straight back into the gym and back into doing everything that I had been doing before the surgery. A bit later on that year, I had my wisdom teeth removed via a general anaesthetic. That counts, doesn't it? So, next in 2012, I had the same pain in the same area. So, I got referred again for another ultrasound, which showed a growth again on my right ovary. Went back to my same specialist and he wanted me to explore my options. As I hadn't had children at this stage, I was 25 and the surgery was quite risky, so there was a risk that he would have to remove my remaining ovary and I would then go through surgical menopause. He wanted me to look at my options. He referred me on to a fertility specialist and I had two more surgeries to have eggs frozen, so I had to complete the course of injections required for freezing your eggs. I did that on my own at 25, so it was quite daunting, but you know, you get put in that situation and you just do what you can to get through it. In the first round, there was an anaesthetist who was quite a big personality, and apparently, while I was under, I think it was like a twilight sleep for this one, I had told him that I would sing Maroon 5 and Paramore for him, and he was in the recovery room with me waiting for me to sing for him. So, I did two courses of that, and in both of those rounds, I got 12 healthy eggs out of each round. So, I have 24 healthy eggs frozen from when I was 25 years old. So, this is going back 10 years ago now. A bit later on, so in October of that same year, I had the ovarian cyst removed. My parents were away in the UK for a holiday, so my mum would have normally come into the hospital and waited with me, but I was very lucky that my younger sister came to take mum's job. And I did ask for them to let my sister know how the surgery went, because anything they told me in recovery wouldn't have sunk in. And I really wanted to know whether they had been able to save that ovary. So they did do that. And when they wheeled me into the room, my sister had the biggest smile on her face. And I'm pretty sure she had her thumbs up from memory. She's like, it's all okay. You still have your ovary. Everything's fine. So that was a big relief. This cyst had many different tissue types in it. So I think it had a combination of the first two. So the muscle, lung, cartilage, brain, skin. There were other ones, but I can't actually remember what else was included. But my specialist did tell me that it was absolutely covered in hair, and I'm picturing hair that's similar to my hair color, which is like a light brown. But he was like, no, it's not a pretty hair. It was more like pubes. My cyst was covered in that much hair that my specialist assistant ran out the room feeling sick because of it. So I'm very proud of that. After this surgery, I never felt like I fully recovered. I tried to go back to the gym straight after my 6 weeks checkup, but I just never felt like I could do what I was doing before the surgery. So it was a bit of a longer recovery. When I did go back at my 6 week checkup with the specialist, I was almost laying down on the chair. And when I had to get back up after he'd had a look at the scar, I couldn't lift myself up with my abdominal muscles. I actually had to assist myself with my arms. And he was like, oh, you haven't recovered quite as well from this one, have you? So, yeah, that took a little bit longer before I was feeling 100% again. So, over the next few years, I started to experience some abdominal pain and it got progressively worse over time. Things like holding in if I needed to go to the toilet and intercourse became really painful. And also, whenever I did quite intense workouts or anything that involved my lower abdomen, I would start to spot, which was very, very strange. I went back to my original specialist because I was getting to a point where it was really hard to exist. I was in a lot of pain a lot of the time, and he sent me off to scans and they showed nothing. Nothing looked wrong in the ultrasounds. He offered to complete keyhole surgery just to explore what might be happening. In December 2016, I had keyhole surgery. It was my first ever keyhole surgery. Everything else had been completely open before that. And he went in and he fixed some adhesions that he had found, so some old scar tissue. But while he was there, he had actually found that after my previous surgery, my ovary had attached to the outside of my bowel, and they actually looked like they were one organ. He did show me the photos that he took while he was completing the surgery, and it looked like it was supposed to be that way. So basically, my ovary had latched onto the outside and it was starting to try and pull the bowel back to where the ovary would sit, and that was causing the pain. Being my first keyhole surgery, I wasn't quite sure what to expect pain-wise, but I do remember the recovery was a bit harder than I expected. People did prepare me for the fact that my shoulders would hurt because apparently they put gas into your abdomen area, and when that rises, that hits nerves or something in your shoulders. So I was prepared for that, and I don't remember that being something that I noted. Like, it wasn't bad for me for that particular surgery. But yeah, I recovered okay from it. It just took me 3 weeks when I was expecting maybe a week after that one. That particular specialist thought it would be too risky to try and separate my ovary from my bowel. So he actually referred me on to another gynecologist who is a specialist in keyhole surgery. And I went to see him within the next few months. He sent me off for some scans as well. So it's not just a normal ultrasound, it's like a specialist imaging center that I went to just to see what was happening. And he did tell me in the lead up to my surgery that I most likely had polycystic ovarian syndrome as well because of the number of follicles that were showing on the outside of my ovary at the time. In May 2017, I had another keyhole surgery where the doctor removed my ovary from my bowel, and that was a successful surgery. He did also put mesh on the outside of my ovary so that it wouldn't happen again while I was recovering from surgery. I remember the recovery pain from this particular keyhole surgery being less pain than I had learned to live with in the years leading up to this, and it was just crazy that I had got used to it. And this is where it comes back to my breast implant illness symptoms. This is stuff that I've been getting used to over the years, just thinking, oh, I'm getting old, oh, it might be this. Like, you just don't do that. If something doesn't feel right, go to your doctor, go to another doctor, get a second opinion, go off for the relevant scans and tests to see what's wrong, because you're not meant to live in pain like that. So my specialist also mentioned that while he was in there taking the ovary away from the bowel, that I had some endometriosis in there as well. And throughout all of this, I guess, knowing that I'd had the ovarian cysts and they'd reoccurred twice when they should only reoccur in 10% of women once, I was a bit of an exception to the rule. There were these things in the back of my mind, like, at least I don't have polycystic ovarian syndrome, at least I don't have endometriosis, and I was facing having these as well. And this was where my fertility was, the story of my fertility was probably ending. I've got one ovary, it's been through so much surgery, my body has been through so much. So if I get bloated now, I'm in a lot of pain, and it hurts more than I assume it would for somebody who hadn't had multiple surgeries where they have their abdominals cut open. So I don't feel like I'd be able to carry a child without a lot of pain. So I've made the decision that I do not want children. But before I had come to this decision, I was very lost. Like, I was like, what is my life going to be if I'm not having a family? And I didn't realize how much I was struggling with that. And randomly, one of my friends invited me to a women's healing circle where we sort of sat down and did some guided meditation, some colouring in. And the lady that was running the night, she actually did some Reiki really quickly on each of the people that were participating. And she was with me for a few seconds and she just popped her hands gently on my shoulders and said to me, "You need to learn to love yourself again." And it was like a light bulb moment where I had realized that I'd started to hate myself for what my body had been through, yet none of it was my fault. And that was a big turning point for me. So I started to think about, okay, my future won't be children, but I can still have a great life. Like, I'm a dog mom. I have two amazing dogs that I adore, two and a half, because my partner has a dog as well. And, my career, like, I love my job and I'm constantly finding ways to learn and make myself better at what I do. I want a house that I look forward to coming home to. So I've started renovations on my home and eventually will buy another house where I say that I'll buy something that doesn't need any work doing to it, but I know I will. I need to constantly be improving things. So, I want those other things in life. So I guess the big takeaway for anyone listening to this is don't assume that somebody's pathway in life is going to be the typical shopping list: get married, have kids, buy a house, that kind of thing. Like, some people don't want children, some people can't have children, and it's a really hard thing for some people to talk about. So the amount of people that have said to me, "Oh, when are you having kids?" Like, I have now got to a point where I will just be upfront, like, I can't have children. I've decided not to have them as well. I like being a dog mum and the crazy auntie as well. I've got nieces and nephews that I adore. So yeah, it took a bit of time, but I did sort of rebuild my confidence back in what I was going to do in life. So I'm really glad that I got to that point. After that, so as part of the process to getting diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome, my GP was doing different tests and stuff in the lead up to that. She basically said, "Look, if it's not your ovary, we did an ultrasound, there's no issue with my ovary at this stage. Next, we'll have a look at your bladder." So I went off for urine tests. I went off for a cystoscopy. So that's the last procedure I've had. And that came back all clear. And then it was after that that I went to see the dietitian and we found that I had IBS. That is 11 procedures in 12, 13 years or so. So quite a lot and quite a varied history of surgery. And my breast explant surgery will be number 12. I am hoping it's the last one for a very long time, but you never know what might happen. But yeah, I'm looking forward to having that done. It is a week away today. And yeah, I'm nervous, I'm excited. I'm hoping it all goes really well, and I'm looking forward to keeping you up to date with how things go after the surgery. This podcast shares my own experience and research. I'm not a medical or health professional. You can find me on Instagram at couldit_be_ii_podcast. Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tengdahl, for the intro and outro music. All recording, editing, and artwork is done by me. Thank you for listening.